Algonquin, Stephenville, Hamilton, and Carlton.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Friends, we want to welcome you to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this evening. My name is Kerry Clark, and I have, of course, with me Brother David Harris, and we're excited that you've chosen to tune in to our radio program this afternoon. We want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show, and we would love for you to participate with us, and the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. I want to ask you, if you have the opportunity, and I know that some of you might be driving, but if you have the chance, I'd encourage you to grab a Bible and open in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 8 in just a moment. Before we actually do that, we do want to remind you that we started a couple of weeks ago a series that we're calling Seven Keys to Personal Growth. Of course, a key is something that is used to unlock or lock something. And so what we're trying to do is to help us unlock some things in our lives that will benefit us in living a godly life. And if you were with us the last couple of weeks, we looked at loyalty. And we said that the basis of doing, living the Christian life, everything that we do in the Christian life, it must begin with this thought of, I am going to be loyal to God. I'm going to be loyal to Jesus Christ no matter what goes on around me. That is going to have to be the basis of everything that we do. And friends, if we're not going to be loyal to our commitment to Christ, then the rest of the things we're going to talk about really don't make sense. So we want to begin with the thought of loyalty. And tonight we're going to be talking about responsibility. Responsibility. And with that thought before us, I'm going to ask David, if he would, to read from Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse number 8, reading through verse number 9. I think he may have some comments that he would like to make as well. So, Brother David.
Well, thank you, Kerry. And the Hebrew letter, inspired of God, has this to say about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, when we started this program, Kerry, this series of lessons, we started with that loyalty, one of the seven keys to personal growth and personal responsibility, or personal growth in our spiritual life, and that is the foundation of the growth. There is going to be based upon loyalty. Now, when we look at responsibility, we have responsibility to Christ, which means we have a responsibility to His Word. And He says here that though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Even Jesus the Christ suffered through obedience to the Father, even to going to the cross. And if Jesus the Christ is going to be responsible enough to be obedient, and it says that he is the author of all of salvation to all them that obey him, then we have to take our responsibility, find out what it is that he wants us to do, and then do it.
And that's exactly right. And David, I find it interesting that this wording of this passage tells us that Jesus had to learn obedience.
Yes.
You know, obedience is not necessarily something that comes natural to us.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I my estimation would be it's pretty unnatural.
Right.
We want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing. And Jesus, of course, being both God and man, and friends, when you start talking about Jesus being both God and man, I don't know that I have an adequate explanation of how that transpired. But we know this, that Jesus was 100% God and yet 100% man, or at least that's the way I think we could describe it. And so you've got Jesus, who is a man, and he is God as well, and yet in his life, he had to learn to be obedient to the Father as well. And that is absolutely mind-boggling for us to comprehend, that Jesus himself had to learn this obedience. And so we're talking about responsibility this evening. And friends, when we talk about responsibility, we need to understand we're talking about being responsible or accepting responsibility for our actions, for the things that we do. And you know, you stop and you think about it, David, if we are going to ever grow in the Christian life, then we have to accept those responsibilities that God has given to us.
Absolutely. And if we don't, by the way, we are neither going to grow, but we will digress. If we do not accept those responsibilities, we will digress out of that Christian character that we're supposed to be by not accepting the responsibilities that have been laid upon us.
And you know, it's interesting that just a few verses past that, in verse number 12, it says in Hebrews 5 and verse 12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers," the writer is telling them that they should have grown to the point, at this point in their Christianity, they should have been out teaching others, but the writer goes on to say, "But you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." And so that's a clear illustration, David, of what you're talking about, that because they did not accept the responsibility to grow, they had digressed, and the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, guys, you should have been out teaching other people. Now I have to stop doing my work to come back and teach you because you didn't accept that responsibility that
right.
You should have grown.
And I think it's very key that we point out right here that when we become Christians, we have a responsibility to God, we have a responsibility to the Word. And that is not just on Sunday morning and Wednesday night and Sunday night.
That's right.
That is 24 hours a day. When we make that good profession of our faith that it talks about in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, we are not to waver from that. We are to be steadfast,
right,
which puts us right back to the loyalty that we started with. That's where we're going, right back to that foundation. Now when we accept the responsibility of being a Christian, then we've got to be a Christian every day in every facet of our life, including being a good citizen in this United States of America.
Yes.
And adhering to the laws of the land, whatever those laws happen to be, unless they supersede the laws of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is the author of our salvation, just as he just got through telling us there just a moment ago. And we have come to the point right now where we are living in this United States of America, and there are many, many people, including our lawmakers, that are not willing to take the responsibility for the consequences that they throw out there. They're throwing things out there and making laws, trying to make us believe that it's not our fault.
Yeah.
That we don't have to be good moral individuals. All we got to do is live by the laws that they throw out there, and everybody's going to be happy. Well, God's not going to be happy with it. That's for one.
That's right. That's right. Friends, if you want to get in on this discussion, give us a call at 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. But David introduced a very interesting thought. Friends, we need to understand that right now we're living in a time where many people deny responsibility for anything that they do. If a child gets in trouble at school, then they call, and I'm not saying this happens in every instance, but many instances it does, then they call in a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist or the psychologist sits down, or a counselor, and they sit down and they talk to this child, and they try to determine, well, what is it that caused you to do that? Were you angry with somebody? Is there something going on at home? You know, and they begin to teach our children that we are not responsible for those things that we do. And so it's this idea, well, you know, I guess the greatest example of this was several years ago, and I think I have my facts right. It's been a while since I looked at it, but there was a man who I believe murdered somebody else, and he used the Twinkie defense. And now I'm being serious, guys. Yes. You can look it up. And I believe that I'm being accurate. It's been a while since I looked at it, but he said that he got on a sugar high because he ate a Twinkie, and that's why he killed this person. And friends, that is the ultimate in not accepting responsibility for our actions.
Exactly.
Now, David, we said that we have this problem economically.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone through, well, I don't say we've gone through it. I think we're still in a recession right now. When it comes time to ask somebody, well, what happened? Well, you've got Republicans pointing fingers at Democrats and Democrats pointing fingers at Republican, and they're saying, well, it's their fault. It's that, you know, nobody's willing to stand up to the plate, David, and say, look, we did some things that caused this recession to come about.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, friends, I'm saying both of them bear responsibility. Both parties bear some responsibility in that, but nobody's wanting to accept responsibility for it. David, not only that, but we have right now political situations that are going on where nobody wants to take the responsibility for their actions. And David, I believe you've got something that you want to bring out in that regard. Before I turn it over to David, I want to give that phone number again. So if you got a pen and paper, write this down. 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com.
Well, Kerry, it seems like what is occupying our political system more than anything this day, other than the big health care issue, is the radical homosexual agenda.
Right.
And we can read all through the Bible. We can read in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 1, where God is highly, highly displeased with homosexuals. He is highly displeased with this radical agenda that they're trying to cause everyone to accept as something that is normal, and it is not normal. But worse than that, we have now got this homosexuality involved in our politics. And we have representatives in Washington that are supposed to be representing good law-abiding citizens and individuals that do believe what the Bible has to say about homosexuality. God did not make a mistake, by the way. This is a choice that people make. And based upon their own sexual orientation, they want special laws made. Well, we brought up this hate crimes law several months back and told everybody how dangerous it was. It was a hate crimes law that was initiated in the Clinton administration to keep people from saying ugly things about homosexuals. And it has a special set of laws to protect them from any kind of a crime that would be committed. And so if somebody goes out and inflicts bodily violence on an individual, that's wrong. And
right.
It doesn't make any difference if it's wrong. It's going to be wrong with a homosexual. It's going to be wrong with a man. It's going to be wrong with a woman. So they don't need that law, but nevertheless, they got it. Now they've got, they tried to pass the thing. It wouldn't even carry water. But we find out now that this hate crimes legislation did not have the support of the American people, but to pacify the demands of the homosexual community, it was snuck in a very essential defense spending bill, and it is now law. And as a result of this, that was supposed to be protection for these homosexuals, we find that last week a mayor out in California by the name of Paris was sued by the Muslim a portion of that city because he made a statement to a bunch of ministers saying that they lived in a Christian community and that they should not be ashamed to even say that. And so he was sued on the basis of a hate crime law against the Muslim religion. And so this thing is just, it's gaining a life of its own. But now you ask somebody who's responsible for that, Kerry, and you're not going to get anybody that will own up to it. And yet we only have our representatives up there making these laws, and nobody is going to own up by saying that yes, they passed that hate crimes bill, and it is passed now, and now we're going to have to deal with it.
Well, David, and we see already where other countries have passed laws that are in many aspects very similar to that. Canada has some of those laws, and some European countries, and they are now using those laws to put people in jail, or at least bring fines against them if a preacher preaches against homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, David, when we don't stop and really think about the consequences of this, and as you said earlier, friends, we are in no way saying that we ought to go out and do bodily harm to anybody that's involved in this type of behavior. That's not our point. It's no different than the sin of adultery, the sin of fornication, the sin of homosexuality. These are sexual sins. And as far as I can tell from the Bible, there's no difference in the eyes of God in these particular things. Now, there are certainly different consequences involved.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand, friends, we're not saying because somebody goes out and commits adultery that we have the right to beat them up.
That's right.
And it's the same thing when it comes to homosexuality. But, friends, what people are saying, David alluded to it or maybe even said it a moment ago, people are now saying it's not my fault. God made me this way. David, God doesn't make people with this propensity to sin.
No.
We're created in His image. And I know that there are many in the religious world who happen to believe that we inherit sin from our ancestors. David, that's not taught in the Bible.
No.
Not taught anywhere. And so a child, when they are born into this world, is born innocent and pure and holy in the image of God. And they are not lost. They are safe because they haven't committed any sins. And so don't try to pass the buck on this and say, well, it's God's fault that I am the way that I am, because that's not going to hold any water.
No, it sure will not. And we have people in high positions in the political world. We have people in high positions in the entertainment world,
right,
that have a stage, and people are very interested in what they're having to say. Just last week, Elton John, and I don't want to be standing anywhere close to him, he actually said to a magazine in an interview that Jesus Christ was a homosexual. Now, friends, when you try to justify your abhorrent behavior by accusing Jesus Christ of being something as abhorrent as you are, whatever it is that you are doing, friends, you are blaspheming Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. That is a horrible sin. It is a horrible accusation, but people don't want to be responsible for what they're doing. So now, because Mr. Elton John has said this, doesn't make any difference what God has said in His Word. People do not want to take responsibility for their actions. They're gonna cling to what Elton John has to say instead of what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us in our Word. Now, friends, we have a phone line here open. It's 445-2473. It's 254-445-2473. We want to hear what you have to say about this. Friends, we are your radio station. We are trying to be your voice. We want you to get in on what we're talking about here, because it is extremely important that we understand that our responsibility and our loyalty is to Jesus the Christ and His Word, whatever that Word is. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be responsible toward it because I am a Christian. I have made that good profession of my faith. Now, we have to be responsible there in what He says, and we cannot pass the buck. We cannot say, well, they made a law. They made a law here, and that law says that it's okay, and it's a crime for me to say anything wrong against a homosexual. Friends, that law can never in any way supersede God's law, ever.
Amen. It just can't do it. Friends, and what David and I are trying to get across is we are to bear responsibility in every aspect of our life. You know, sometimes I think we put things on hold and we say, well, you know, I'm not responsible for that. I'm going to let somebody else do it. And we've got to start accepting responsibility for everything in our life. Friends, we're going to come back in just a moment. We're almost at a break right now. We're going to come back to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to read down in about verse number 42. And so when we come back from our break, I hope you have your Bible open to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to notice a lead into Matthew chapter 24, and then we're going to come back and make some comments about that. But give us a call at 254-445-2473, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Lord. The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is CO Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I am David Harris. I'm here tonight with Kerry Clark. And we are talking about the seven keys to personal growth, the personal spiritual growth. And we pointed out, and we always want to remember that the seven keys begin with our loyalty, our steadfastness, and our allegiance to Jesus Christ and His Word. And that is the foundational block of this growth. And then we pointed out that secondly,
After loyalty is going to come responsibility, and that responsibility is going to cover every aspect of our life, and we need to be responsible in everything that we do. In worship, we need to be responsible in our everyday life. We even need to be responsible voters, because we have representatives that are representing us, and what we believe that the Bible has to say to us, and the word that guides us through here. We read and started off our program with Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, which says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal life unto all them that obey him." And so he is also talking about our own responsibility. Now, we said right before the break just a moment ago that we're going to give you some examples of responsibility now. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus tells his disciples about, among other things, the destruction of Jerusalem, the end of the world, and the second coming. And then in the latter part of chapter 24 of the book of Matthew, beginning there in verse 42, he wants us to begin to pay attention. So he begins to paint these pictures we call parables, and he begins by telling us a parable here that Carrie's going to read for us, and we're going to discuss some of the aspects of this parable, and all of these things that he's telling us about here have to do with our own personal responsibility, and these are some biblical examples of responsibility, not only to God and to our worship and to his word, but also to our everyday life.
David, and I appreciate that. Before I answer that question that David has just presented, or before we get to that, we received a question by email, and the question said, "What was the name of the study Bible that you spoke of a few weeks back? I was very interested in that, but I can't recall the name of it. Was it the English Study Bible, or the English Bible, or English Study Bible?" And so I'm going to answer that over there. It's called the English Study Bible. It's the New Testament with Notes by Harold Littrell, and I'm not sure if that's the way you pronounce his name or not, but it is Littrell. And the place that you can order this, and I assume this is still a valid address, is 5601 Falcon Drive, Falcon as in the bird, Drive, Paragould, Arkansas, or Paragould, Arkansas, and that's Paragould, Paragould, Arkansas, 72450, and if you have any more questions about that, and I've used this Bible, the person who writes this question said, "I usually use the King James Version," and so do I, but this, to me, has been a good asset to have, and so it's called the English Study Bible, the New Testament with Notes by Harold Littrell out of Paragould, Arkansas. Now let's turn our attention to Matthew chapter 24. As David said, Jesus has just discussed in the early part of this chapter the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. Then beginning in about verse number 36, he talks about his second coming and the end of the world. And he says in verse 42 in this first parable, "Watch therefore," this is Matthew 24:42. "Watch therefore, for ye know not when," or "you know not what hour your Lord doth come." Now, David, I want to pause there and drive down a peg. What does this say about the people who try to tell us that they know when Jesus is coming back?
Well, basically, it makes a liar out of them.
It does. Because he says, "Watch, because you don't know when the Lord's going to come." And now here's the parable, verse 43. "But know this, that if the goodman of the house," or the master of the house, "had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered or allowed his house to be broken up." David, do you know any criminal that calls you and says, "Hey, just want you to know I'm coming at 2 a.m. to rob your house this morning"?
No.
No.
Not at all.
And why? Because we would be ready. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is telling us, guess what? I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming back. You better be ready all the time. Because, David, I know how I am. And when I was in school and stuff, if I had an assignment, and that assignment was something that I had to do, and it was to be turned in 3 weeks, Guess when I started on that assignment?
The night before?
Yeah, two weeks and 6 days later,
yeah.
I jump in there and work all right. night long to get it done. And Jesus knows human nature, and he's telling us, guys, I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming back because you'd party all night long until the hour I got there, and then you'd be on your hands and knees in sackcloth and ashes and want me to accept you. So he said, I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming back. Verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and he shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. David, Jesus said, you better be ready at all times.
And that is our personal responsibility.
Amen. That's
it
exactly
right. It is our personal responsibility. It is not the preacher's fault. It's not your mama's fault. It's not your grandma's fault.
That's right.
It is our responsibility to be prepared. And now what we have here is a series of parables, just like what you just got through reading, and they go in a progression, and it shows the danger of the lack of responsibility that people have. Here we just got through reading, beginning there in verse 36, the danger of absolutely no preparation at all.
Yes.
Then we begin there in verse 42, and we see a delayed preparation.
Yes.
A lack of responsibility, just putting it off, like what you said. It's a delayed preparation. There is danger in that.
Yes.
Next, we're going to see about partial preparation when we look at that parable that he gives in chapter 25, the first 13 verses, has to do with the foolish virgin, the foolish and the wise. There's five foolish, there's five wise. Five made preparation. Five did not make preparation. Five were responsible, five were not responsible. And those that were irresponsible, they did not make it before the door was shut.
That's right.
Now, we have these pictures that are given to us in words by Jesus the Christ so that he can illustrate to us the significance and the tantamount importance of our responsibility, each and every one of us to have, to make the preparation that is absolutely necessary in order for us to go to heaven. Because not everybody's going to heaven.
David, I have to say amen to that. Hey, if you want to join us in our discussion, call 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. And David, I find verse 13 that you alluded to very interesting. Jesus says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes.
Right.
You know, David, there is in my mind at least two ideas of this coming that Jesus is talking about. It has the idea of him coming back the second and final time, the end of the world. Or it could refer to our death.
Right.
When we die, the Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 9, you might want to flip over there and read with me this, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. It says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So friends, when we die, the Bible says that we are immediately going to be judged for what we've done. Now, I'm not saying we'll either go to heaven or hell at that point, because the parable in Luke chapter 16 answers that. We're going to go into that Hadean realm, where in that Hadean realm, the Bible describes a place of torments, and then it describes a place as Abraham's bosom. And we'll either rest in Abraham's bosom waiting for the final judgment, or we will spend time in torment until Jesus comes back.
That place of Abraham's bosom is Jesus makes reference to it as being paradise.
That's right. That's exactly
paradise.
Right.
Do we have a caller? Give us your first name and give us your comment or your question, please.
This is Paula, and I was calling because when I think about responsibility, think about your financial responsibility. And the fact that, like in Deuteronomy 6, it says the things that you have are not really yours, they're God's.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rich man who filled up his barns and decided he'd take his ease. You know, we don't really have the, we're not being responsible if we're stacking up money and not doing what we should for God.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
And that's my comment.
Well, great, and it's a great comment, and you know, not only does that apply to us as individuals in our own family, how that we are to be good stewards of everything that we have, but it also has to do with the good blessings that God has bestowed upon this great country in which we live,
right.
And our representatives squandering and being horrible stewards of the finances of all of us people here that elected these people and tried to get a voice up in Washington that evidently we're having a big time, a hard time getting our voice heard up there.
Well, and you know, the Bible teaches if you don't work, you shouldn't eat, and we fostered an economy that feeds people for doing nothing.
I believe you're correct. I believe you're absolutely correct.
My only other comment is that I think it's a shame for a church to stack up a lot of money because they ought to be using it.
Well, that's a good comment also. I mean, the church is not there to make money. They're there to spend money on the furtherance of the gospel and expanding the borders of the kingdom of Christ.
That's right.
And I also would throw into this idea that when we think that we can live responsibly and have credit where our credit cards are run up into thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
We can get ourselves into bankruptcy. That's a sin too.
Yeah, and then the thing that gets me is then you've got these lawyers on television saying, well, if you'll call us, we'll talk to those creditors and we'll get that cut in half. You don't even have to pay what you have said you're going to pay.
That's right.
And the verse that Paula was talking about is found in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 10, where the Bible says, now listen to this, friends. Listen to what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you. Now that's not a suggestion, friends. That's a command. That if any would not work, neither should he eat. And Paula, you're exactly right. We have got a society that is living on welfare. Many, I'm not saying everybody, that are living on welfare, that are healthy, and they could go out and get a job, and they refuse to. And friends, it's time to cut the money off.
That's right. Well, I'm going to hang up and let you guys talk about it.
Well, thank you very much for your call, Paula. Thank you very much.
Now, friends, let's go back to this idea of responsibility. And I read an article in the Harvard Business Review, David, and I love this little article. It was called Market Myopia. And here's what the guy that wrote the article talked about. He said, a problem that we have, a lot of people don't understand what business they're in. And he said the railroad people didn't realize that they were in the transportation business. They thought they were in the railroad business. Had they realized they were in the transportation business, they would have invested in airplanes. He goes on to say the telegraph people thought they were in the telegraph business instead of the communication business. In 1886, they could have bought all the telephone patents for $40,000. And he says, obviously, these people didn't know what business they were in, and he goes on to say, I quote, I used to think these guys were really dumb because they didn't know what business they were in. And then he said, I asked myself, well, what business am I in? David, what business are we really in?
Well, as Christians,
amen,
we are in the soul-saving business.
That's right.
We have the very same mission that Jesus Christ has. Jesus illustrates his his mission in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 when he says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And we have the very same responsibility because we have been given that great commission in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, where Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, back up to what we were talking about, these laws that are made trying to supersede the law of God, evidently they don't know who they're dealing with here because Jesus said all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And he says then in this great commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so we have the responsibility as a Christian to go into all the world and make Christians out of other people.
David, the Bible very clearly in Hebrews 8, Jeremiah chapter 31, and many other verses tells us very clearly that Christianity is a taught religion. It's
right.
Got to be taught. And friends, we're failing miserably in doing that. We're up against another break, and we want to encourage you to write this number down, 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. We would love for you to participate in the program with us, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Lord. The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-sized Bible. Presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.archivecoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, the people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Kerry Clark, and I have, of course, my co-host David Harris, and we're talking about responsibility this evening, and I understand that we have a caller on the line. So, caller, if you want to give us your first name and then your question or comment, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, this is Barry, and I was just listening to talking about responsibility, and I think you're talking about things that we fail miserably at, and that's where the commandment is for the fathers to train up their children the way they should go. We depend on Sunday school teachers. We depend on our wives. We depend on our preacher many times, and they are helpful tools, but fathers fail miserably in stepping up and being the leader, the spiritual leader within that family. And it's our responsibility. If our kids are going to make it to heaven, then we as fathers have to step up and make that commitment to get them to heaven. And if we don't, we fail miserably, not only ourselves, but our family.
Well,
that's my comment.
Barry, I think that's a wonderful comment. But, you know, before a father can step up and be the example to his child that he needs to be, he needs to be the spiritual leader of that family.
Yes.
Right, right.
And a lot of times we're dropping the ball right there, and we see in a lot of congregations you see more women than you do men in there. Now, it is true that women live longer than men, and it could be most of them are dead, but the fact of the matter is many of them don't show up. Because they're leaving that spiritual leadership to the woman of the house when the man of the house is supposed to take hold and be the man that he's supposed to be and be the spiritual leader of the house, not only with his children, but also with his entire household, including the wife.
Right, right. And until we do, God holds us responsible. The men need to be aware of that. That does hold us responsible.
Absolutely. And that is a wonderful, wonderful point. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." And it's very, very difficult to bring a child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord if the father doesn't even know what the nurture and the admonition of the Lord is.
Exactly. And I appreciate y'all's show, and I'll go ahead and start listening again.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling, Barry.
You know, David, you read Ephesians 6 and verse 4, and I think we might take just a moment, because the lead into this came from your statement about Matthew chapter 28, that we're to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son,
right,
and Holy Ghost. We have a responsibility to teach, but friends, and this is where Barry's coming from, that responsibility starts at home. And he says in Ephesians 6, for you fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't do things to your children that brings undue anger. David, we live in a society, in my estimation, of angry young men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is where Barry's coming from on this. We've got fathers who many people don't even know where their father is at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are living in a family where the father may have deserted them, or the father may have run off. They don't know who their father is, and maybe they know his name, but they don't know who their father is. They don't know their father. And many times then, you've got a boyfriend or a stepfather that comes in who doesn't know his responsibility, and we've got angry young people in America today, friends, and it goes back to this fact that we are not accepting responsibility. Guys, listen to me, and I want you to listen good. When you get a girl pregnant, you have just taking on responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be a coward and bow out of the picture. David, I've seen that happen so many times in my life, not only my life as a Christian and as a preacher, but prior to becoming a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Saw a lot of my friends that they thought they were macho man because they got a girl pregnant. But they weren't man enough to step up to the plate and take responsibility for it.
Right, right.
Friends, if you want to get involved in this discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. 845-2473 or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Friends, we've got to get back to accepting responsibility. David, it's interesting we're having this discussion tonight. I had a discussion just today with a young lady, and she was feeling guilty because she didn't feel like she was doing enough, you know, not doing enough teaching people and so forth. And this young lady has three kids, 8 years old and younger. And I said, you've got a responsibility right now to your husband and those children. Now, when they get out of the house and you've got them grown and they're good, strong Christians, then you can start taking some other areas of responsibility in the church and so forth. But, you know, the Bible, David, and I guess I could get on my soapbox on this, but friends, if you've got your Bible, you might turn to Titus chapter 2, and you might listen to what the Bible says in Titus chapter 2. It says, listen to this, in verse number 3, Titus 2 and verse 3, the aged women likewise. He's just talked about the man's responsibility. But he says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Folks, it's time for us as older people to step up to the plate and start helping these younger people.
Right.
We've got a responsibility in that.
Well, we're dancing all around what we have covered a couple of weeks ago, and that is the responsibility of the husband and the wife.
Yeah,
in the home,
we did.
Which is Ephesians chapter 5, and one just goes right with the others, just like these foundational steps that we're setting here, the seven keys to personal spiritual growth. Loyalty is one of them, and then we go up to responsibility, and one goes hand in hand with the other. When we have this responsibility, as Jesus did, to go into all the world, and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that is just the beginning. That will get one in the kingdom, but a person needs to know more than that. He can't remain a babe in Christ all of his life, just like we read in Hebrews just a moment ago. In Hebrews chapter 5, in the latter verses there, we read where they ought to be teachers. They're at a time in their life when they ought to be teachers, and they still have need of somebody else teaching them what be the first oracles of God. And we need to step up and be responsible with our spiritual leadership and our own personal Bible study. There is nobody, but nobody, and we got through reading those parables just a moment ago, there is nobody that can read my Bible for me.
That's right.
And there is nobody that can understand what God wants me to do except me, and that's my responsibility to understand it. And I dare say that there are a minimum of 5 Bibles in every household in the United States of America.
Yeah.
And we have the responsibility to read the Word of God, and yet we don't know enough as a society to make good moral decisions based upon what God has to say. And this is one of the great problems that we have in our society. It's that people make these mistakes, then they try to undo what they've done, and they realize that they have made some grave errors in their life concerning their family, concerning their children, concerning their spouse. But now it's that when they finally realize the mistakes that they've made and they try to correct these mistakes, it becomes extremely difficult, not impossible, but very difficult. And so many times you just see the responsibility go right back out the window, even to the point of a person losing their soul salvation because it's just too difficult to fix now.
Yeah.
I've got myself in such a wreck here, it's just too difficult to fix. And we see an awful lot of that when it comes to marriage, divorce, and remarriage.
Well, David, you know, and you and I have talked about this quite a bit, and not only on the air, but also in our private discussions. Friends, we're here to help. And what we're trying to do, and I want to go back and reemphasize that, and David's just done a good job of bringing this up. we must start right now and use these keys that have been given to us in the Bible to start growing from this point forward. We've got some horrible things in our past, but we've got a bright future out there with God if we will just trust Him, do what He says. We can put our trust in God because God's not going to lie to us. Hebrews 6 verse 19. It's impossible for God to lie. And so, friends, you can start right now and say, okay, I may not have been as loyal as I needed to be in the past, but from this day forward, I'm going to be loyal. And I'm going to start accepting the responsibilities that God has given to me. And then as we go through and we start looking at these things, we're going to notice that we need to have the courage to follow through, and that'll be either next week or the week after that. But we've got to start right now accepting our responsibility so that we can grow. Now, friends, we've still got time for a call if you want to join us on our discussion at 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473. Or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. We appreciate the calls that have been made already. We appreciate the email that we've received. And friends, Jesus said to go into all the world and in Mark 16:15, preach the gospel to every creature.
Mm-hmm.
David, that starts in our home, as we've already illustrated. And then we begin. Someone said it. I have no idea who it was. The world begins when I step outside the door. So when Jesus said, go into all the world, David, when I leave my house, I'm in the world, and I need to be preaching the gospel. We have in our minds, I think, sometimes that to go into all the world means I've got to go to Mexico, right, or I've got to go to Africa, or I've got to. And literally, and I love this, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but when I was in school, in Austin to learn to be a preacher, we had an instructor who is now dead who was a Greek scholar. I mean a Greek scholar. And he said literally in Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus said, go ye therefore, he said a literal translation of that is as you are going, as you are going. And he said, folks, and I heard him preach a sermon on it. He said, we're going all the time. We're going to the grocery store. We're going to a football game. We're going to a basketball game. We're going to work. We're going home. We're going, going, going. And Jesus says, literally, as you are going into the world, you teach people. An awesome responsibility, David, but a wonderful privilege.
Well, and there's something else that we need to throw in here, and it is our responsibility. It is not our responsibility to go out and teach somebody our feelings. When we start teaching people what our feelings are, we are inviting disaster. Our feelings and our conscience are not good indicators of God's will.
That's right.
I believe we have a caller on the line right now. Caller, if you'll give us your first name and make your comment or give us your question, we'd be pleased to hear it.
Hi, gentlemen. This is Shane.
Okay, Shane.
Yeah, talking about, you know, us all going out and doing our part, you know, and a way to kind of refer this to our days in our lives right now would be like, you know, we go out every day and we refer, you know, the best steakhouse, we refer the best plumber,
yeah,
you know, we refer the best electrician, the best guy that can frame a house. You know, word of mouth referrals, networking, you know, that it's the way, you know, we need to spread the gospel. It's the way we need to get people in the seats. And, you know, nobody shies away from referring those top notch things that we experience every day. Then why, you know, we need to step up to the plate and be more willing to refer, you know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I mean, it's just something that we can easily talk about a steak or the best movie down there at Cinema 6. We need to be able to come up with this more easily and refer more people.
That is a great comment, and I've never heard it put just exactly that way, but it makes a tremendous amount of sense. And just like you say, it's almost as if we are ashamed to mention the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Right.
When we get outside of the church building. We want to take our Sunday clothes off and take our Sunday learning off with it.
That's a fact. That's a fact. And that's something, you know, I'm still growing in that, and I'm trying to get better at that myself. But I notice I do that a lot. I mean, we all refer things, and I find myself, question myself, you know, why haven't I stepped out of the comfort zone? I think we all stay within that comfort zone a little too much and need to step outside a little more.
Shane, I appreciate that. You know, we'll fight somebody over the best steakhouse in the country. Well, I tell you what, you go down there to Perini Ranch right out of Buffalo Gap, south of Abilene. That's the best, you know.
Right.
But we won't talk about the best Savior in the world.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and
sir.
We won't talk about the best church in the world, the Church of Christ that Jesus purchased with his own blood. But we'll fight over steak and pizza.
It's backwards, isn't it?
Man, I tell you, that's great. You might just given us sermon topics for a month right there, Shane.
Well, guys, y'all have a good one.
Thank you very much for your call. We appreciate your call. And friends, it's just about time to sign off again. We're just about out of time. We want to let you know that we want to give hope. And that's what Jesus Christ is. He's all about hope. He's all about life. He's all about eternity. And that's what we're trying to do here. Yeah, we have lots of problems, but we can change it all, and we can turn it over to Christ, and we can let His Word guide our lives. And I want to finish by saying God bless you all and turn it over to Carrie for the last word.
Well, friends, we appreciate that, and we do appreciate the calls that we received this evening, and we want to say God bless you as you continue to study His divine Word.